Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
On News Talk.
Now, for many of us, fear remains a strong motivator while on the quest for success or validation. But what lies on the other side of fear usually is what fills us with the most pride and gratification. For this week's Down to Business, I'm joined with executive mentor and best-selling author of Courage, Christopher O'Williams, on how small acts of courage through the reframing of fear can help unlock our hidden potential. Good morning to you, Christopher. How are you?
Doing great, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Now, firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're an academic of note. You're a man with some experience. You cite fear as central to courage. But tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, Christopher.
Oh, absolutely. I've had many hats in my career. These days, I speak and talk and write about business and personal transformation. For many years, I was a corporate executive working with sports and lifestyle fashion brands. I was born in Sierra Leone, moved to the U.S. when I was about 18 or 19 in the early 90s. Spent some time investment banking before entering the fashion and retail industry. And recently left to spend more time talking about personal and business transformation. So that's it in a nutshell.
Okay, well, that's a great synopsis, and thank you for that. Now, tell me then about when you talk about encourage, you offer a framework for leadership. How much of leadership is innate, and how much is due to routine and discipline? And maybe talk a little bit about where fear plays a part in leadership, if you would, Christopher.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, fear plays a part in all of our lives. Fear is a built-in mechanism which was designed to protect us when we were maybe running around on all fours, and it still is part of our wiring today. So no matter where we are, whether it's our business lives or in our personal lives, fear plays a role. But to go to your point, I think as a leader, you know, one of the differences one has to be aware of is the distinction between a manager and a leader. You know, manager goes through the science of building plans and organizing and planning and moving people forward against deadlines and gets things done. A leader is a little deeper. It includes elements of being a manager, but it's a bit more. It's about maybe inspiring people. It's about taking people to places where they would not have gone themselves. But that's not possible if you don't know how to take yourself there first. You have to be able to lead. And that's where this element of courage comes in. Because as a person, you have your own fears. And to lead effectively, you have to learn how to manage through your own fears and lead yourself before you can be in a position to lead others.
Yeah. Now, you cited an example in the book about you were leading the president of the African Leadership University, and that you were really faced with some stark decisions around whether you should stay open or closed during COVID-19. And I just thought it was very useful the way you sort of descended into the leadership thoughts. Maybe walk us through your experience there, because I thought it was a great example of looking beyond the here and now.
Yes. So this was in the early 2020 period. I had just started a role as president of African Leadership University. I'm based in Mauritius with another campus in Kigali. And I lived in Berlin with my family, and we flew to the island of Mauritius in early January for me to start the role. And within weeks, as you can imagine, you know, the COVID pandemic became an issue. And so I'm new in the role. I'm trying to build a reputation and a relationship with the faculty, staff, and students and parents. And then I'm staring down this problem of COVID at a time when the university was actually very cash strapped. And so it was quite a quandary, because I didn't feel like there were any good answers. And I was terrified. because I, on one hand, wanted to do the right thing and keep the university open because it was because the students felt like it was an oasis, a refuge for them. But on the other hand, I also wanted to do the right thing for the students and to keep people safe. And so I went back and forth, not sure what to do, because we also had the governments of two countries, which did not want to let fear take over the population. And I didn't want high-profile school like mine to lead this sort of this pandemonium in many ways that was sort of around the confusion of COVID.
Yeah.
So lots of things going on. And I came down to one bottom line, which is, what can I live with long-term? And for me, what I could not live with long-term was anyone passing away or anyone being incapacitated by COVID, and we couldn't help them because we couldn't be by their side, and they were maybe hundreds of miles from home. So I made that my bottom line, that we were not going to let anyone succumb to COVID, and we're not going to let anyone go through a very painful experience of the disease. So once I made that the only thing that mattered, I saw everything else as a problem that could be solved. And I think that's the thing with fear. You kind of have to take it head on.
Yeah.
And ask fear to say, hey, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, the worst thing that can happen is we close the university. Oh, well, we can fix that. But the worst thing that can happen, someone dying, well, I can fix that. So you sort of zero in on the thing that is the most real and the most difficult and maybe the one that you cannot fix. And you let that be the catalyst that drives you to decision in the right way.
You also, do you not, you have the burden of making a huge call without conclusive data, which clearly was the case there. But you also have to be decisive. And sometimes the decisiveness and the clarity of actually physically doing something can allay the fear almost, because you're actually, even though you may not be doing the right thing, you're doing something about the status quo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's one thing I've found with courage and fear. Courage needs something to work for. So you have to find a thing that has such overarching importance with at least as far as you're concerned, something that you prepared to stand for and, or die for in many ways. And that becomes, it's overriding to the fear itself. And so if you are generally blasé and, you know, carefree and don't think anything rises to the level of importance, it's hard to be courageous because nothing really builds in comparison to the fear that allows you to overcome the fear. So really honing in on what your passion, what your motivation, what your aspiration, what is important, it's really important to becoming courageous and ultimately overcoming fear.
Yeah. And you also say that when facing failure, leaders must avoid defensiveness and self-pity, because this is what we often see. Instead, they should own their failure and name it. And that really is, when you say it like that, you really do often see people, making the problem about around them rather than the subject matter.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because we tend to have our own narratives. Nobody wants to feel like they fail because we've created so much stigma around failure. So no one wants to own it. Oh, I failed. And so it's about us. It's actually our ego at play. But with really trying to master courage, you have to be comfortable being vulnerable. And you have to be comfortable accepting that, oh, I failed. And you have to be comfortable and say, hey, I screwed up here. But don't stop there. The question then becomes, what do I learn from this? How can I get better? What is the new choice that I can pursue? What's the alternative to the first choice that I haven't tried that I need to explore? So ultimately, failure becomes a growth experience. And if you don't see it as a growth experience, it will remain a fearful experience. And you will then continue to fail because you will be averse to failure and you will be locked in this state of fear. But when you see failure as a process itself, a growth experience that makes you better on the other side of it, it becomes actually something that you look forward to. I'm going to make a mistake and I'm going to find out what's not working. Then I'm going to go on to the next thing. And I think that's the mindset that is really important to fighting fear.
And finally then, as leaders, then really one of the greatest things we can give the people with who we lead is an environment that allows them fail. And this is where you really differentiates to me good leaders from ordinary leaders, that where they can provide that environment that people are able to fail. Not that you're encouraging failure, but at least you're allowing an atmosphere or a culture there that allows people learn from it.
Absolutely. And that's healthy. It's healthy in any environment that wants to grow. It's healthy in any environment that seeks to drive or thrive from innovation. It's hard to grow without growing pains. So if you're trying to foreclose on growing pains and you don't want that to be part of the conversation, you're essentially stifling growth. So as a leader, one of the things you have to do is to create an environment where growing pains are okay and failure coming along with those pains is totally okay. And the goal is, how do we as a team, without blaming, without judgment, without pointing fingers, without shaming people when they make mistakes, how do we learn? And actually thank the person who made the mistake, because me making a mistake makes you not make the mistake. So in many ways, I've helped you. And we've helped each other. And I think that should be a process. And that should be part of what leaders inculcate in all the teams that they lead.
Well, on that positive note, we'll leave it there. My guest was Christopher O. Williams, and he's the author of a book called Courage, C-O-U-R-A-G-E, a great book around leadership and managing failure. Thank you very much for joining us, Christopher, and we're wishing you a happy new year for 2026.
Thank you, and I wish courage to all you, to you and all your listeners as well.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.